Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you just lifting up, just thank you, Father God, first of all. Just thank you for being God Almighty. There is none like you. You've given us an opportunity to hear from heaven, and that we appreciate. Holy Spirit, I thank you that everyone here today has ears to hear what your Spirit is saying, what the Spirit is saying. But Father, I pray not for our congregation alone. Today, our Living Truth is celebrating 10 years. Bless them today with their services, Heavenly Father. Our friends right next door, Pastor John Boss, bless them. Pastor John up the street, bless them, Father God, and his congregation. Father God, we pray for Connection Church. We pray for Corona AME, Father God. Lord, we thank you for outpouring your Spirit out on Corona Church of the Open Door today. Bless the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, the Catholic Church, the Presbyterian Church, Father God. Bless the Korean Church, Heavenly Father, the Spanish-speaking Church. Bless every church in Corona today. Father, we thank you that the 90,000 here that don't know you, that they're saved. In Jesus' name, let all who agree with that say,
amen.
Amen. Please repeat after me. This is our four core values. Say, I will worship. I will connect. I will be equipped. And I will serve. One more time, please. I will worship. I will connect. I will be equipped. And I will serve. Today is part two of our sermon series, I Serve. And as you guys know, you got your iPad and you got your iPods and your everything else. So we're going to do our I series today. And right now we're on I Serve part two. Now, almost all of you are aware that we all have gifts and talents and different temperaments and things that can be used for the body of Christ. But I want to take you a little deeper today. And next week, I'm going to literally drown you in this. I'm going to really show you some things to really go all the way back from the beginning, all the way to where we are currently, about the importance of your gift and how to steward it well. Because that is the thing you're going to be held accountable for. Once you're saved, you're in heaven. Hallelujah. Good. You get to go to heaven. But once you get there, there is a time when we will stand before Christ to give an account of our stewardship. So our foundational scripture, our text, is 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11 today. And verse 10 says this. It says Peter. Now, Peter is writing to people that had converted to Christianity. And you guys are Christians, so this letter is appropriate for us also. Okay? Everybody wake up and look alive now, okay? Y'all stayed awake during the games. Y'all stayed awake during your favorite movies. Stay awake now, okay? Verse 10, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. He's given everyone a gift, okay? He says, watch this, use them well to serve one another. The gifts are there to serve one another. I want to say it again. Use them well to serve one another. Your gift is to serve someone else. Now I'm going to get more into it in a moment, okay? You have to understand the importance that you have a tribe. You have a group of people you are called to. You do. And I do the DISC assessment and personality and all that kind of stuff to help you understand yourself, because my natural inclination is to isolate myself. Jackie asked me the other day, we're sitting there, it was date night, and we're sitting there eating, and she says, if you love sports so much, why don't you go to the games? And I said to her, do you know who at the games? People. You ever look out a stadium and you see 100,000 people? Do you know what that does to me? Use them well to serve one another. Verse 11, do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything, and see, here's the kicker. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. How I handle my gifts, God's going to touch everything else in my life. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Now, today I want to talk about the principles of service, okay? True service is serving your gift to others for their benefit. True service is serving others for their benefit. Their benefit. Their benefit. It's about other people. Now, serving your gift is important, but so is having a good attitude. You've been around people whose attitude just sucks. In fact, it stinks. In fact, it's funky. You've been around people like that. You go to a restaurant, and I like a good ribeye. In fact, we were just in Dallas. Thursday and Friday, had to go to a board meeting there. And so Jessica, who used to be our missions director, you know, she got married, her and James, and they moved to Dallas. And And they're doing good, so I was there. So I let them know we were coming. So they took us out to dinner to the Saltgrass Steakhouse. I never heard of Saltgrass, but just steakhouse, that's my kind of place. So we get to Saltgrass Steakhouse, and we go in, and I order my ribeye. Hallelujah. And so it's succulent. It's moist. It's tender. It's just all that. Now, the thing is that when they present, hallelujah, Miss Lisa, so when they bought it to me, it was, you know, they had it all nice and prettied up and all that, and that's why it was $30. But anyway, they presented it well. What if they had just taken that same steak, succulent and juicy, and put it on a trash can lid and brought it to me and set it in front of me? But see, that's how some of us serve our gifts, with our $2 attitude. Well, I did my part. They ought to be happy. That's not good. Because God is looking at that. People matter. People matter. Serving your gift is important, but so is having a good attitude. And then too, is maintaining a good attitude when they irritate you. Because sometimes people will work your nerves. You said amen. Spoken like somebody that bought as a company. Amen. You got amen. And sometimes the irritation will make you respond in a way that goes against what God intended for you. Yes. It's not about serving God on your terms. Well, I'll do it, but they need to. I'll do it, but they. It's not cool. Now, the same thing applies to me as a pastor. I'm going to sit there and preach it. I got to live it. This morning, my study time, I was in Ezra, which you're going to get next week. And well, I'll tell you next week. So, John 10:11. John 10:11. Now, everybody, not everybody, but quite a few of us quote John 10:10. And it says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, but I came that you might have life, and life more abundantly. We get excited about that. I want the abundant life. But context is important. And often we'll take a scripture, and I love it, especially people that came up Word of Faith, where you name and claim, and you stand, this is my scripture, I'm going to stand on this. And I understand what you're saying. You will find a scripture to support what you feel. Is what you desire. I mean, and you will hold fast to that. You will. That becomes you. And you, normally we got about 10 or 12 that we've memorized that suits our purpose. Most of us read the word to validate what we believe to be true already. We look for confirmation about how we feel, and we'll find scripture to justify where we are. That's not how it should be done. You have to understand what is God's will. Even Jesus said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." If Jesus is saying, thy will be done, we should be saying the same thing. Yeah. Pastoring was not my will. Robert, and did you ever hear me, out of the 5 years we worked together, you ever hear me say I was going to pastor a church? Never. In fact, did you even hear me talk about God? A little bit? Oh, every now and then, like God get us out of this situation. But but here, John 10:11 is just as Jesus. And if I'm the under shepherd and you are Christians and we got to be Christ-like, this is a principle for us. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices. I sacrifice. I pay my tithes and offering. Good. But there's something more he's looking for. Sacrifice his life. Are you truly sacrificing your life? Now, that word life in Greek is the word psyche, meaning your mind, your will, your emotions. You got to truly learn to die to self. It's not about me. Do you know how many people, literally thousands, Jack and I have ministered to? And do you know, and it's not been thousands, bless God, but there have been quite a number who totally, totally diss me, who totally lie on me, who totally, I mean, people, it's like, really? They said that, and I go up and talk back to them, well, pastor, that's not... Now, when you were in need, me and Jackie were your best friends, best thing in sliced bread. Remember that letter you wrote us and how and all that, all them adjectives that was, and all you guys that write, and, you know, you colorful people, you know, it's Terry Hines, and you guys know how you do art, and it's just all flowing and lovey-dovey. You can just, when I took it out the envelope, syrup just dripped because it was so sweet. And then later on, you blasted me like I got a tail because I didn't do something you wanted me to do. Or I forgot something. What happens? Where's the sacrifice in that? But then what about my part? I got to sacrifice my life for the sheep. If I let that stuff get to me, what's that going to say? That indicates my immaturity and my sensitivity. I want to finish my race. And I cannot let the thoughts or behavior of someone else throw me off course. I cannot. And see, with my tendency to withdraw, that's my natural default is to pull back. Now, some of you guys that are people oriented, love people, can't breathe without people. Okay, you guys. And your natural thing is to even love them even more because you can't understand why they're mad at you. So you're going to be even nicer. That's why you keep getting, okay. But each of us have to work on that. Sacrifice his life for who? Who did I sacrifice my life for? For the sheep. For the sheep. So therefore, no one can ever say that behind the scenes, Pastor Tony got with the other pastors and just sliced up the New Day congregation. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Because we pray specifically, God, only send those that you've ordained to be members and keep back those you haven't. Because I need to be about your business. And I don't want anyone coming here that's not assigned here. They need to be where God has for them to be. Amen. I'm about my Father's business. Let's keep reading. Another thought before I go. If I let offense get into my heart, and it prevents me from serving you guys, then I'm elevating that offense above God. That means my offense becomes an idol. Because anything I esteem above God is an idol. So therefore, I cannot let your behavior and my response to it supersede what God has called me to do. You can't either. People are going to offend you. But how you respond to them is your decision. You don't have to take offense. That's a choice. You take it and pull it on yourself. You don't have to receive it. And offense is just your perspective of a situation. And it happens when someone does something you didn't expect them to do. And I've learned people are going to shock me. People shock me this year. They're going to shock me next year. I just decided to stop being shocked. People are going to behave a particular way. Doesn't mean I don't care, but I can't let that impact me. I can't. Been married 32 years. Jackie still shocks me too. She does. And I know I blow her mind. Boy. But we have to make a decision. Is it about God? He gave you this gift, whatever it is. He gave you the talent. He gave you an opportunity. He put you in certain settings. You're going to have to give an account for all of that. Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 16. Now, this is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. And as you know, I like to pretend he's writing to the church in Corona called New Day. And this is what Paul says. And really, you get a chance. You really need to read this in context. But verse 11 is where we're going to start. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. So now here's the kicker. I'm a gift. I've been given to you. I've been given to you by Jesus, okay? Now, here are the offices of that gift. They're the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are gifts to the church. Now, you guys are the church. Now, let me explain. The church is not this four walls. The church is everybody that's called out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God. It's taken from a word. It is a word. It's ecclesia. Which means, even has some churches named Ecclesia, meaning that in the Roman government at the time, those senators were called from respective provinces, kind of like our senators now. You know, we pull two from every state and they come. Okay, it's the same thing with the kingdom. We have been called out of the darkness, okay, and we've come into the body of Christ. And so we are the church. So I had someone complimenting me the other day. They said, you know, I love the way you're always praying for the other churches. Well, they're part of the body. Why not? I'm not in competition with them. I'm in collaboration with them. We partner with them. We're workers together. And there's so much to be done, I know I can't do it by myself. I'd be foolish to think so. And if I elevate myself to thinking I can get it all done myself and I don't need anybody else, I'm foolish. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that. I cannot dismiss somebody else in what they're called to do. Okay? Every part of the body is important. Now, the gift that Christ has given to the church, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, I know many of you guys know this because we've talked about this scripture before. When I'm in leadership, we've talked about this. You guys are going through Destined for Purpose. We've talked about this. You guys are going to Destined Lead. We've talked about this. And in a number of other classes I've taught, we've gone through this, okay? But I really want you, I wanted to get out of your head and into your heart, okay? Because we're looking at the principle here. Now, verse 12, Now, I'm the gift, but here, and I'm supposed to serve you, but here's, look at verse 12. Their responsibility, whose responsibilities? Whose responsibility? The apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Their responsibility. I have a responsibility. You have a responsibility also. And we're talking about my responsibility right now, okay? And it says, my responsibility, where I read it, is to equip God's people. Now, the word equip is to literally means mend that which is broken. Pastor Tony always talking about heart issues and psyche and all. He all into that stuff. I ain't Oprah. I'm not, Dr. Phil? I'm not. And I'm not discounting them either, okay, for whatever. I'm not dismissing your the people at your job that are, you know, workplace counselors and psychiatrists and all that, and that's fine. I'm coming straight from a Word of God perspective. And this is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, my job, my responsibility is to equip. That means to mend that which is broken. Because if you're broken, you cannot do your job effectively. You ever try to do a job with a broken tool? You know how frustrating it is? You probably had a crescent wrench and it busted. What good is it? What good is it? You ever get a Phillips head screwdriver and it's just shredded at the end? It's like, what good is it? Get a hammer that's not attached to the handle. It's like, how can you hammer? You need to mend that which is broken. And the reason I do this is so that you can be effective in what God has called you to do. Now, most of where we've been broken is not physically, but emotionally. And that's why you have a gift, you recognize it, but you don't execute it well because you still got them heart issues. My responsibility is to equip God's people for what? To do his work. Whose work? God's work. God's work. God's work. You got to be equipped to do God's work. That's why he called you. And his gifts and callings are without repentance, meaning he's not taking it back. He's not taking it back. To do his work, and watch this, and to build up. Say build up. Build up the church. Now, many people go to church and you just sow seeds of discord. Proverbs 6 says this, is seven things the Lord hates. And one of them is a brother or a sister that sows discord. I try to be as non-divisive as I can. I really try to be just united. We have something in Corona called the In Christ United. All the pastors come together. And I'm very instrumental in that. Elder Joyce will tell you, every first and third Tuesday, I'm there. I rarely miss. Because we need to be united, because that's what he's looking for. We need to build up the church. That's why we've gone. That's why yesterday we were at New Revelation Church in Pasadena. We had leaders from Crenshaw, from Pastor Bam's church, Life Bible Enrichment, and some other churches there. Why are you training up their leaders? Why not? Why not? We're going to Houston this week. Got a church, Pastor Dan Parade. Going to meet with him and Kim. Going to spend a whole day with him. He's so excited. We're going to meet at 12. We ain't leaving until about 9 at night. And it's all about his vision and strategy and his structure, the things he's put in place. And we leave there. I got another lady, Sandy Oliver, who will be joining us soon. Sandy, Pastor, why don't you meet my nephew? It was not on my list. And he's on the other side of Houston. But we're going to spend Friday evening with him and his wife. Because of this scripture. What does it say here? What does it say here? Build up the church. Oh, only build up New Day. Pastor, you know, you're always dealing with other people. I don't think you spend that much time with us. You know, when I have the classes, you don't come half the time anyway. But Pastor, you need to show me your church. Show me a group that you've started and been successful with. Seriously, I don't know how to put the Joel Osteen look on. I'm not mad. I want you to get it though. I want you to stop and think for a moment. Come from the Word of God perspective. My responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church. When you sow seeds of discord, when you withdraw and you hit and miss with your church attendance, you know, and when you're passive aggressive, you show up physically, but your mind and heart is somewhere else. And see, God, he doesn't look on the outside. He looks at the heart. So you get an assignment from your leader. You just gonna stand on your post. And you hear me say, how many first-time guests do we have? And you will not move to go and give them a card because you're mad at Brother Frank. Because you didn't get your badge. Everybody else got a badge. How can you remember me? Oh, they put everybody else's last name and they put my last name. But the last time she said this to me, get mad because my kid got two donuts. It just, we will find... We were fine. They didn't tell my kid. I didn't get the email. It was the Sunday for the kids to sing. And we were just, that pattern, you show up, but your heart. And you know, God sees it. Another thing too, you're not going to stop the glory of God. See, he will remove you. And he will continue on with his business. And the only thing that's going to happen is you get your feelings hurt. I'm telling you. You play all in. One other thing about building up. See, the other thing, too, you got to understand you're part of the body. And it's not just about your calling. And that happens a lot. It doesn't really happen here in New Day. I might have one or two times, honestly. But it happens to me frequently when I go to other churches. People will come to me, Pastor, I need help with my ministry. If you're not effective serving where you are, you're not going to have your ministry. You're not. You know, with Elder Kelvin, he was the chief operating officer at Zoe, the church with me and Jackie joined back in 01. And I'm going to tell you something. You and probably one other were the only elders that never corrected me. I had never been so corrected in my life. And I shared that a little bit with you guys last week. It's serious. It was like, I'm like, what? I just can't get it right here. It's like every time I look up, somebody telling me I'm doing this wrong, I'm doing that wrong, I need to be over here, I need to do this, and they ain't the way you leave one department, you leave another one, and just, it's like, ah! And I thought one of, like, what at Zoe, they would always say, well, can you release me? That was like the buzz phrase, that can you release me? So I went to a brother, and I said, can you release me from my service? He got mad. And I'm thinking, what do I do here? But do you know that I learned missions at Zoe? Do you know that my wife and I have sent teams all over this world behind being at Zoe? Do you know right now I'm the vice president of the whole Zoe Association with all the Zoe churches? If we can't deal with the little and let God shape us and grow us, we never will. I leave for the Philippines in 2 weeks to train up the Zoe churches in Japan and the Philippines. Me, the same one that couldn't get it right, couldn't get it together. The one that was always being corrected. But when you submit yourself, let me tell you this, Jeremiah 12:5, write this one down, look at it for homework, okay? Jeremiah 12:5, it says this, here it says this, don't look it up, just write it down. It says this, if you cannot run with mere men, how can you run with horses? If I cannot deal with correction, if I cannot deal with people that don't understand me, if I can't learn how to work my mind and submit, if I can't see there's no such thing as submission until there's disagreement. You're always looking for everybody to be in agreement with the superiors? No, I got to learn to submit. I have to. And that submission brings formation. It brings strength. It brings maturity. When you're sowing seeds of discord, you're withdrawing, you're hidden and missing with church, you're being passive aggressive, and your biggest concern is just your focus, you know, you're working against building up the church. You're going against God. So yeah, you have your gift. And yeah, we do the classes, the path, and all that to help you discover your gift. But your attitude is going to be important. Your attitude is going to be important. Because that's what God is looking to develop also. Not only your gift, but your character. See, a gift will get you somewhere, but it's your character that will sustain you. And of course, all of y'all think y'all got the best character on the planet. But then ask the people around you. Because, see, we like to do self-assessment. And when we do self-assessment, there's always self-justification. Because you want to explain. You know, okay, Lisa, where's Lisa? Lisa, I saw Lisa Thompson. Where are you two, Lisa? Okay, Lisa, and where's Stephanie? So Lisa and Stephanie came and sat with me on, I'm about to put you on blast. Lisa and Stephanie came and sat with me on, because they missed the first class of Destined for Purpose last Sunday. So I did a makeup class. I get off the airplane, I go drop my bags off and I come to the office. Now, how am I feeling? But I'm going to sit for 3 hours with them, okay? And as we begin to talk and I begin to share some stuff, you know, all they kept giving me feed pushback. Well, Pastor, this way. They kept and I'm like, wait a minute, do you want to grow or not? Now, it's not a Stephanie Lisa thing. Everybody does that. Cracks me up. People call me, Pastor, can I come see you? Come sit in. And then you come to see me and you go. Then if you had the ability to solve the problem, why are we sitting here? Think about it for a moment. Why you call me? Since you got it figured out. And I ain't mad at you. No, notice I didn't call you. But then you come, you want to, I'm cool. I understand it. You guys that are counselors got your degrees, and I understand it. And that people, I get it. But it's just funny to me. I ain't mad at Lisa and Stephanie. I love them. That's why I went to see them, because they're special to me. They're ministers. They're going to do some great things. They're awesome and powerful. Great people of God. I love, just crazy about them. Amen. They are. And let y'all know, too, I'm mindful who I spend time with, especially that kind of time. So that's proof that I do believe in you, that I was there. So you guys are like, he talked, putting people on blast. Look, calm down. Crazy about these two right there, okay? All right, amen. Lisa came here from another church and got her ministry launched. She's been all over the world speaking, and her single is going out, and I just even want her to go to the next level, okay? So I love them. I'm not against them. And if I didn't think they could handle what I was saying, I wouldn't have said it. So everybody just relax for a moment, okay? Let's keep going. Verse 13, this will continue until we all come to such unity. Say unity. And that's the opposite of division. We got to be united. We got to be united in our faith and knowledge of God's Son. And most of us don't really know him. We just know what we feel. And knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord. Say mature. Mature. Measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Not our culture, not your family, not your beliefs. Christ. That's the standard. That's the benchmark. That's the measuring stick for me. It's Christ, not my feelings. 14, then we will no longer be immature. Meaning, if I'm acting the other way, I'm immature. You can be 70 years old and still be immature. Then we will no longer be immature like children. Wow. Coming united, coming together, using the standard of Christ as my benchmark. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new doctrine. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. You know, people that work with for the Treasury Department, the way they find out, deal with counterfeit bills, when they're training, they never touch a counterfeit bill. They play with the real thing so much. They never even touch a counterfeit bill. They know the real one so much that when they come across a counterfeit, they know it immediately. And many of us, we don't know the truth. We don't know the truth. We know what we feel. We know what we like. We know what we prefer. We know what makes us comfortable. We know that, you know, we got certain music we like. We choose a church based on music. We do. Oh, they got that sound. Okay, let me keep going. Verse 15. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. Watch this. Here's my last point. Growing in every way more and more like Christ. Each week, I want to be more and more like Christ. My mother is an amazing Christian. She really is. There's one thing she did so bad one time. She talked about a young girl that was pregnant in the church, and she felt so bad. She went and told the girl, told everybody. And she's still bringing it up. That was 900 years ago. Oh, that one time I was just... And see, that's a good standard, like my mom. But I can't live through my mom's standard. I have to live through to Christ's standard. Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. This is his. And I have to steward well that which is someone else's. Think about it. Verse 16, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Perfectly. That's what we're going for, fitting together. We need to fit. You ever put on some clothes that it didn't fit? I put on a suit. I remember I went to just a regular store and put on a suit. It's like, it doesn't quite fit. Then I put on one more expensive one, and it fit perfectly. Now, as each part does its own special work, you have a special work you're called to do. It helps the other parts to grow. See, it's about others. So that the whole body is healthy. Everybody knew this. Healthy. That's what we're going for. Healthy. Healthy. Yeah. Healthy. Yeah. Healthy. Yeah. I want you healthy and growing. And growing, becoming more and more like Christ in all that you do, and full of love. Love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love. Agape. Be totally, completely given over to one another, not yourself. Bow your heads, please. God in heaven. God in heaven. Father, we want to become more and more like you in all that we do. We want to be like you. We want to be Christian, Christ-like, dear Lord God. And Father, it's going to require us to grow. It's going to require us to step out of the familiar and into your kingdom, dear Lord God. It's going to require us to die to self, Heavenly Father. You said, dear Lord God, if we want to be your disciples, we must pick up our crosses and die daily, Father God.